Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. This is a midweek edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer coming to you. Going to talk UNLV hoops, UNLV hoops, and more UNLV hoops as the Rebels get ready to take on Wyoming on Saturday. It'll be the regular season finale for UNLV, who is 22-7 overall, 10-5 in the Mountain West Conference, sitting firmly in third place via tiebreaker with San Diego State, and all they've got to do is solidify that, win a game that we pretty much unanimously among the two of us think that they should pretty easily.
Yeah, Ryan, fun part of the year for UNLV basketball, the home stretch, the tournament time. Everyone around town's getting excited, and why not? UNLV has showed its last three games that they're going to have some sort of run in March. Obviously, it starts on Saturday. You got to beat Wyoming. You host a league tournament. It's expected, at least according to the past years, that UNLV is going to have some success there. And then it's more than likely on to the NCAAs. Fun part of the year for everyone associated with it. And I guess that losing streak they had two and a half weeks ago is pretty much old news. We knew they'd win those three games, but the way they won them, Ryan, awfully convincing. They're a machine. They're rolling. You're around the team every day. You've seen them at practice. Is this week layoff, are they using it to get ready kind of for the stretch run, or do you think that they had so much momentum going they should have maybe had a Wednesday game sandwiched in?
See, I think it's a good thing. If they were healthier, I don't know that I'd think it was such a good thing, but, they're banged up across the board. Like, outside of Matt Shaw and Derek Jasper, Shaw probably back this week for the Wyoming game. Jasper still kind of iffy. If they weren't in such good shape there, or it's so banged up there, I'd say it was a bad thing. But, and then you've got Oscar Belfield with his knee. Anthony Marshall's taken a couple hard falls in the last couple weeks on his back. Guys that just needed a little more time to charge up. And I think it's a good thing. And, look, Wyoming, we saw UNLV just kick them around up there by 28 points. It was their worst loss since 1950-something at home. This is a Wyoming team that's really had a tough go of it late in the season after losing Majeki to the knee injury. I would expect you more of the same from UNLV. I'd expect, probably about a 20-25-point win again on Saturday. But, I think, like you said, the big thing is going to be the conference tournament, because you've got this conference in a situation right now where they could wind up with a record four teams in the NCAA tournament. BYU, New Mexico solidly in. San Diego State and UNLV, it's kind of widely assumed right now that if they win their regular season finales and then win a game in the Mountain West tournament each and get to the semis, it's a four-bid league.
Yeah, and I think it's a guarantee that it'll be a three-bid league.
Yeah.
In terms of UNLV, they need Derek Jasper. He brings so much to the team. Does he have to play on Saturday to be effective in the league tournament? Does he need kind of a dress rehearsal to get going? Is his knee ready to rock? Is it ready to roll? Because they need his, I guess, his presence inside, his presence outside, his passing, his, the rebounding he brings.
Yeah, see, I do think he's proven, look, he was incredibly valuable to him, although the numbers weren't huge in, individual categories, across the board, great numbers, great presence for them. They've gotten used to life without him, and I think if you want to ease him back in, you got to have him back for that first game of the Mountain West Tournament, because let's just call it like it is. They're going to play either Utah, who's really banged up and really struggling, or Colorado State, who they've handled twice. So that would be the ideal game to ease a guy back into a rotation that has already settled in since losing him.
See, the thing, I got to disagree with you. I think once the tournament starts, you play the healthy guys who are clicking and rocking and rolling. Because was it 2 years ago, they took TCU a little lightly and should have lost the game. Anything can happen in the tournament. Teams make magical runs from the lower part of the bracket every time. I think UNLV has got – I think Lon's got to tighten up the rotation, pick his eight guys who are healthy.
He hasn't done it all year. Why is he going to do it now? It's worked all year.
Yeah, I see your logic. I just don't know if running a guy out there to get him court time in a game that I think, and you probably do too, is a must-win, that first tournament game is the right time. I would hope that Jasper would be ready to go on Saturday. Obviously, you don't want to push a guy back with a leg injury. What about Shaw? He's ready to go.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He was back in practice full swing on Tuesday. And, you know, I think he's going to be back at full strength on Saturday. So are you saying that if Derek Jasper doesn't have a game to get acclimated before the Mountain West tournament, you wouldn't play him?
I
will agree with you on one thing. When he went down, the guy that we thought was going to have to step in and eventually fill that role, who was best suited to, was Anthony Marshall. And in the last three games, he's really done so. He's finally getting comfortable. So does he lose minutes now if Jasper's healthy? Look, Kruger's not going to – if the kid's healthy and ready to play, he's one of their three best players. He's not going to not play him.
Okay. In
my opinion.
Does Marshall now take some of Kendall's minutes? Because besides the three-point shot and the spark that he could provide you when he hits it, like he did at New Mexico, he's probably a little bit of a liability on defense. And
where do you see a Justin Hawkins get squeezed out?
The thing I like about Justin Hawkins is when he's in the game, good things seem to happen. Mm-hmm. He always finds the loose ball. He's not afraid to take the shot or to create offensively. And he's a freshman, and you want to get his feet wet a little bit, but he's probably the guy that gets pinched out just based on Jasper's a guy that if he's healthy, you got to have him in the lineup. You're right. He's one of UNLV's best players. He's played on a big stage before.
He's played three NCAA tournament games. Let's not forget about that either.
And he just brings so much to the team. He's really a point guard at the forward position. He's a great facilitator. And I think Shaw's a guy they need to be healthy as well. You and me were watching the other day at our desk a tape of the Sweet 16 game against Oregon, and there's Shaw on the bench. Looked a young version of Matt Shaw, but he's a guy who's been through the wars, and he's an inside-out guy who you need. And, you know, there's two schools of thought. One is my school of thought, which I don't know much about basketball, but I'm thinking you need to get the guys acclimated. It's tough to just say, okay, you haven't played, you know, in a month, a little more than a month. Get back into the flow of things right away. But there's another school is, hey, you've made it this far. Play your best five and get it done.
Yeah, and look, it's a decision that Lon Kruger's ultimately going to have to make. I'm just glad I don't have to make it.
Exactly.
I'll put it that way. I do think there's positives going either way, but I just don't see them not playing Derek Jasper if he's healthy.
And
look, the chemistry is one thing, but let's not forget who these wins have come against. You know, Derek Jasper, like you said, is a guy who's been through the wars. He's played in almost every big game they've played this year. You know, I think he's a guy that they can count on, and he's a guy who's proven already once that he can mentally get over a major knee injury.
No doubt. I think it's not like that Jasper's going to walk on the court and all of a sudden he's going to have the whole team on his shoulders. He's not going to be – I mean, he's still, you know, their second or third option, but he's a guy that you have in the mix. He is a second or third option. Sometimes teams could, you know, say, okay, well, Trevon Wills is going to get his, but we could D up and kind of tighten the screws on some other players. Well, I think he – if you get a lineup out there with, you know, Willis, Belfield, Jasper, Standback, and Shaw – is that possible, do you think?
Willis, Belfield, Standback, and Shaw. Yeah.
That's your best five, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives you the best chance to win. You know, because especially if Jasper goes and pulls down his rebounds a game. Remember, he was averaging like six boards a game. And it's just those little things that might not stand out that really help kind of push you over the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun part of the year. The MAC is going to be rocking Ryan Green.
It will be. The Mountain West Tournament almost sold out.
And it's a fun event. And I love the bands and the fight songs and just how UNLV gets into that with the Viva Las Vegas. And it's really good college basketball.
Yeah, we don't have an MC for that one.
Yeah, it's another – we could talk all day about that, in my opinions.
Bite your tongue.
Yes. Fair enough.
Well, let's talk about some positive news that the UNLV basketball program did get this week. The donations have come in. It's all official. It's going to be built. The $12 million – or excuse me, $11.7 million Mendenhall Center, which will be the men's basketball practice – the home for men's basketball at UNLV. Practice facility, locker rooms, offices, film room, academic area – lots of benefits, basically.
How many zeros were on that check you saw yesterday? He comes back to the office, folks, and he gives us this story about how there was a check.
5 zeros per check, by the way.
5 zeros per check. Lon Kruger actually had the donation checks from the Mendenhall family in an envelope, and Ryan got a glimpse of it. And, I mean, it's a figure 3.5 that you'll probably see. You're a talented, successful, young,
I will never see
young
that much.
Career guy. Me, I mean, I might borrow some from you.
I will never earn that much money in my entire life as was on one of those checks.
Yeah, but pretty cool for the family to give that kind of money and the other donors to step up to make the full donation possible.
Yeah.
Folks, no state money here. UNLV getting a state-of-the-art basketball practice facility. And the thing that stood out for me reading their story is that it adds instant credibility to the program. It's going to give them another selling point, and I think it could help in Lon Kruger's quest to make it an elite program. Did you get the same sense? I hope you did.
Yes, I did, because, and you know, look, all we hear about from people that we talk with and the, you know, the fans and people that email us, Corey Joseph, Dwayne Pulley, the two top recruits that UNLV is going after for their final scholarship in the 2010 class. I mean, getting one of those guys would be a huge get for UNLV.
Huge.
And look, we've already talked about how it's not absolutely necessary that they get one because they've got everybody back next season. There's no immediate needs. But they've already started planting those seeds in the 2011-2012 recruiting classes. And now you've got, you know, Lon Kruger said as soon as yesterday afternoon he could start calling those recruits, and what he told them was in the works, he can now tell them will be built and will be ready to roll. They're saying it could be in use by the end of next season. Huge. Because, you know, look, the analogy that Lon Kruger, or not analogy, but the example he gave is, you know, say a kid comes to UNLV, has a great visit, meets the guys, likes the guys, sees what they have right now, and then goes a day later down to Arizona State, where they have a brand new facility and all that works. You know, it can kind of erase what they saw here. And now, with this, on top of having the city of Las Vegas to sell, you've got, I think Lon Kruger put it best, in saying, in 48 hours, UNLV can show a recruit more than they will see at any other campus they visit.
Amen. That's exactly right, 100% accurate. You know, a lot of these basketball players are gym rats. They're guys that like the 24/7 accessibility to go work on the jumper, foul shot, open gym. Man, that facility is going to be open. You could go play top of the line. The water fountains are going to be outstanding. I mean, everything from, you know, just the littlest minute details. That folks, go to the website, go to Ryan's story. We've got diagrams, pictures, maps. This is a top tier gym on the campus type of building. And from when I went to school there in the mid 90s, or to even when I was a kid, you know, my dad would take me to the games. We'd park at the old Flamingo Library and walk through campus. Just the buildings that have been constructed, the Greenspun Hall over there where the communication school's at. I mean, UNLV is becoming a very nice university. I know it doesn't have that academic reputation nationwide, but some of the buildings that have been built, top tier, man.
Yep. It's a beautiful campus, and this is only going to add to it. And, you know, look, I know a lot of people huffing and puffing about, you know, look, the university just had cuts and blah, 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 blah. Look, private funding. These people paid money for something they wanted, for something they wanted to donate.
Yeah. And my big question, my big response to that, I love when people write on the message boards or email in, well, this money could have been used better for something else, yada, yada, yada. My answer is, how much money does the history department bring in every year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much money does the science department bring in? What's one NCAA tournament game worth? Amen.
It's true.
Those monies, you know, are dispersed throughout the university. When Tark had his glory years at UNLV, you know, supported the football program, supported a lot of things.
There's going to be a lot of people that say this is being built for basically 15 athletes. No, this is being built, yes, to help them, but in turn, how much money does that basketball program bring in for the university? What, in turn, this is going to benefit the entire university.
I mean, ticket sales for one game alone could help fund a department, and it's more than that. When UNLV plays, you know, this facility helps UNLV's program grow.
Mm-hmm.
UNLV plays a national TV game. That is one big advertisement for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, the basketball team is the best public relations tool the university could ever have, because the basketball team has been elite best in the nation. The science department is never going to be Harvard. The journalism school is never going to be Missouri. But the basketball program was North Carolina and better. The basketball team beat Duke by 30 points and was better. 1990, eighth grade. I remember it.
Boy, you get fired up when you bring that.
Just
I'm just going to end it with one saying, and it holds true here. Flaunt them if you got them. Right. UNLV's got them. Exactly. Flaunt them because it'll get you what you want. Any final comments before we shake out of here? Next time we will be talking to you is Saturday night after UNLV Wyoming. Nothing?
I got nothing.
You mentioned 1990 and you're spent.
I was going to say 103-73, the score of that Duke game.
You mentioned that and you're spent.
Yes.
All right. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green, LasVegasSun.com/Rebels for all your UNLV coverage needs. We will be talking to you again on Saturday after UNLV Wyoming. Until then, take care.